Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the October 11 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Gentry. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Jim McCormick is here from Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois. And Chip Nellinger joins us from Morton, Illinois in Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. Of course, we'll need to go through some of the numbers that were released Thursday morning from the United States Department of Agriculture and their crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. But Bill Gentry, I'm wondering what else might be on your list to talk about for today.
I think realistically, the opportunities to maybe get some catch-up sales. I know a lot of guys, when the market broke down before, were not very enthusiastic because the prices weren't all that stellar. But I think we're up to some levels to get some catch-up stuff done, especially for the guys that are going to have to move more corn out of the field than previously anticipated.
Jim McCormick, anything on your list that you'd like to discuss?
You know, more importantly, I'd say is, we keep the trade deal with China. Market seems to be reacting quite a bit to that today. Stock market is, and we'll see if we can get a deal done, because I am very leery. If we don't get a deal done, the government's way still overstating export demand.
And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Yeah, I would say where do we go from here based on, these yield trends? What's a producer to do? Weather's going to be a big part of this situation, too. It's been a little bit challenging, and everything that the guys mentioned earlier. So it should make for a good stew of what do we do now.
Well, let's start with what the yield trends look like for the United States Department of Agriculture on Thursday. The October crop production numbers showed a yield now of 53.1 bushels to the acre for the soybeans, 180.7 for the corn. The yield number for soybeans was up just a little bit. However, we changed the corn acres and the yield there just some. What did you think of those numbers, Chip Nellinger?
Yeah, I thought the bean acreage number, maybe a little bit of a shock. That really helped us out, helped cushion some of the blow of the increasing yield there. Wasn't surprised really at the cut in corn. I think they have more to go, particularly in Illinois, as producers get more and more, further along into this harvest, particularly the northern third of the state, say north of Interstate 74 and for sure north of Interstate 80, a lot of those areas are falling well short of a year ago. So I'm not so sure they don't have more to cut in Illinois and, again, nationally it coming up. But my fear is that they also have more to increase bean yields as we go forward. So it'll be an interesting mix there.
So I do want to check with both Bill and Jim about this part of Illinois and what they think might happen. You both live a little closer, and particularly Bill, I think, than the rest of us do. What's your assessment of the crop in that Kankakee, Will County area and what it looks like?
Most of the guys that I've talked to have been really impressed with their soybean yields. There's some growing concern that it may taper off a little bit. Especially if we watch the areas out west. The corn yields have been a little bit more variable, very good and encouraging, but they're just a little bit more variable depending on how wet things are. So I think in the grand scheme of things, the yield going down in corn today was probably a good step. And as far as the beans are concerned, I think they're likely to go down just a little bit going forward. And today's adjustments in the yield, big crops don't necessarily get bigger, kind of broke the trend. And so the USDA could basically come back down a little bit in corn going forward.
And Jim McCormick, in your area, I suppose you've been pretty wet up at least until this point.
We've been pretty wet. I mean, there's not a lot of progress going, but I can tell you in general, the people I've talked to, pretty much the northwest corner of Illinois, I would say like go Rock Falls north up to the Wisconsin border, to the west over there, west of Rockford, those areas are definitely coming in for the most part a little bit disappointing. A lot of high variability. And I'm in the camp that I lean to think this corn crop is probably going to shrink back a little bit more, not dramatically, but I think it is going to get smaller in Illinois. And I think parts of the customers I've had up in the northern Corn Belt dealing with the snow and the rain, they're worried about standability and losing some crops. So I'm definitely in the camp that corn crop's going to get a little bit smaller. The bean crop's going to be a little bit of a challenge for me right now. I mean, the crop did get bigger. Historically, when it gets bigger from September to October, it has a history of getting bigger 9 out of 10 years from now, or 9 out of 10 years. So the history definitely works on the big crop get bigger line. But one thing, I've had a lot of customers in Kansas and as well as Iowa that are sending me pictures of beans or the pods are splitting open right now. And that's just something we're going to have to see. They're going to be able to get in the field the next couple of weeks, and we'll see if they can, if this yield can hold. But I'm not convinced about the beans, but corn I do think is definitely shrinking back.
And Chip Nellinger, you wanted to talk about the yields in particular. What do you think will happen with the trends going through the November and then the final report in January?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the Illinois yields in the northern part of the state are really a problem, you know, falling well short of a year ago. And it's a wide enough area covering enough counties that I think that's really going to hold back the state and probably have to shave that back a little bit. So I do think, just based on a trend, you know, to go, you know, up in August and September, down in October, they're likely not going to go back up on corn in November and January. I think they could keep shaving that a little bit. But likewise, I just am supremely impressed with reported bean yields. They're just phenomenally good. We've got producers far enough along completed. There's going to be some 80-plus bushel whole farm averages, many in the 70s. I've never heard so many widespread 70s and 80s. There's fields that have gone 90 and above. I think they've got room to grow bean yields. If it weren't for the cut in acreage, we would have had bean carry out over 900 million today. If yields keep going up, we could be knocking on the door of a billion bushel carry out, maybe above. It's critically urgent we get this China deal situated and taken care of, or we're going to just be swimming in a sea of beans here domestically.
Yeah, I'll come back to the China deal in just a bit. However, I want you and Jim McCormick and Bill, if he wants to jump in on this, to talk a bit about the trend lines or the trends for yield. And as it's related to weather and soybeans, Jim, I know you have seen, and I've seen them, I think we all have, the pictures of standing water, of beans that are really shattering at this point. When they dry out, they'll probably be even worse. However, I don't know whether we have a whole lot of experience with large areas having an impact from this kind of problem. It sounds to me as if Chip's pretty convinced the beans are going to be big. I'll let him answer that in a moment. How about you? Do you think that this will have an impact or not?
Well, that's what really makes it hard. I think you're definitely going to have an impact. I mean, talking to a producer of mine down in Kansas, I said, where are you at? He said, I think we've lost 20% of the crop. He said, that's where we are right now, but I got 7 inches of rain in the last 5 days. He said, I don't know how much more I'm going to lose because I don't know how quick I can get back in. So we're losing some crop in Kansas, and the same thing in North Dakota. I have a customer up in North Dakota that got a foot of snow laying on his beans. He's like, I figure we're going to lose at least 10%. But on the other hand, like Chip said, I believe we've heard some phenomenal bean yields, some 80. I've heard the same thing, 80, 85, 90. Even had one farm went 100 on one farm. And that can offset some of that bad. You know, those bushels may offset it, but we've only got a third of the crop in, so I think, you know, the market's going to be very volatile the next couple of weeks as we just get this yield data to try to find out, you know, the really good stuff that didn't get the heavy rains versus this flooded out pictures and, you know, how big of a problem this really is. And it's going to take time to find out, unfortunately.
And Chip, how about you on whether this bean crop can get bigger or whether the weather problems will stymie its growth?
Yeah, I don't dispute the weather issues. It's been just atrocious conditions. And, you know, particularly if this rain continues in the Western Corn Belt, this becomes a trend we're fighting all the way into the end of October and the first half of November. We certainly could take some yield off. And corn stands are horrendous. But I do think that the trend in bean, I don't think that's 2 or 3 bushels nationally. It may curtail us a little bit, but I still fear that bean yields can continue to grow and maybe end up by the final January report at 54 or north. Corn, I don't know. You know, that's the strange thing about this year is if that's the case and beans continue to grow, and let's say we are 54, and they shave corn back another bushel or two, maybe cut that carryout down towards a billion six or under, something's got to win. We'll be swimming in beans and pretty tight in corn, and one or the other of those is going to either corn will drag beans higher or beans will limit you know, what corn's ability to the upside is. So it's going to be an interesting few months ahead of us, I think.
And Bill, can you follow up on the idea that catch-up sales might be some place to go with this? And I don't know whether you were thinking about soybeans in particular, but maybe it is.
Well, I think we made some clutch sales when we back in mid-August, and we're just back up to those price levels. I think realistically, these aren't great prices, but we've got some guys that are really limited on storage. They're getting into these fields and realizing how big the crop is, and they're basically having to move some stuff earlier than they planned. And I would say, too, along the bean argument and how big the yields are, I had a guy call me from the combine cab a week and a half ago, and he was complaining because his beans were so good, he could only go 3 miles an hour. And so there's going to be some areas that are really, really good. And a lot of times when you talk about weather hurting yields and losses like that, it takes a pretty significant situation to really knock the yield back very much.
So are we of a mind that producers should take advantage of the pop in the marketplace for soybeans, especially for those that they would have to take to town anyway?
Most assuredly. I think these price levels today were a better opportunity than we've seen in a couple of months in corn. Beans, we had a down, well, on the charts, we had a downtrend day with a higher close. It did not take out yesterday's high, so I think the upside's limited. Same situation in wheat. Realistically, until we get this China thing reconciled, at least to some degree, beans are going to struggle.
Jim McCormick, your thoughts on marketing across the scale for either corn or soybeans or both?
What I'm recommending my producers take a really serious look at doing it if they can't, because pretty much the choice is either pay for commercial storage or market it. I would probably tell them to go ahead and market it. I've heard some pretty severe storage costs to go out because we are so full. I think, you like I said, we've had a decent rebound for beans. You had beans down near $8 just a few weeks ago. They got up just shy of $8.65 today. They're at $8.70 last week. If we can get up near $8.70, the reality is they probably ought to do it. There, you know, as we've been saying, there is not, you know, I think there's a real fear. Part of the reason why the market didn't break today, even though we had a quote-unquote bearish report, was it just wasn't as bearish as we feared. I thought we could easily top a billion bushel carryout if they produced a 54 national yield. And I think if we get a billion bushel carryout, how can you keep $9 beans or $8.75 beans? I don't know how you don't go down one more time without a weather problem in South America. The world is swimming with beans. We've got double the beans we had a year ago. So, yes, farmers should not pay that storage to hold on for a hope. Move it. If they really want to own it, use a board. Use some options to re-own it.
Yeah, I think it's important, too, that there's a lot of on-farm storage, and there's been a lot of on-farm storage that's been built the last few years and even the last 12 months. There's tremendous carry, more carry in this bean market than we've had in a decade. There's good carry in corn. And, you know, you sit out here and you look at 390 July, 390 plus July corn futures and $9 plus July bean futures. Producers that hold grain out into spring and summer probably need to be looking at that, especially if you're in an area that's blessed with good yields this year, better than APH and as good as a year ago. You're looking at nearly, potentially with basis, close to $1,000 gross in corn and $700+ an acre in beans. Those are good numbers, so we got to get our mind wrapped around, hey, if I have good yields, we've had a little bump in prices. What matters is gross revenue, not just the price, and the price and the yield this year could get you what you need on the gross revenue, but you got to lock it in. You know, as was mentioned earlier, without a drought situation in South America, we're probably not looking at a major bull market here. So look at the gross revenue, and it might be staring you in the face right now.
Jim McCormick, I think from your earlier comments, you're fearful that a trade deal might not be struck very soon with China, and that could be another problem for the marketplace.
Well, yeah, what I'm concerned about is, you know, the government right now, if you look at the export sales specifically, they've only cut it at about 69, 70 million from year to year. Okay, that's the cut. So when I look at the balance sheet, to me, it seems like they're pretty optimistic. They're dialing in that China is going to buy the beans. But we've heard all sorts of stories that China is out there saying, hey, they're going to cut their feed rations from a 20% meal down to a 12%, which is more in line with the world nations as a whole, a 12 to 10% feed rations for meal. If they would do that, you're looking at roughly cutting overall bean consumption by about 10 million metric tons, Todd. Okay, and that's not 10 million where it's like, well, if they're not buying it from us, they're going to buy it from Brazil. They're literally going to try to cut their calorie consumption by 10 million metric tons, or roughly a little over 350 million bushels of beans. So if they actually can succeed in doing that, and there's a question mark if they can, I'm fearful even if they're close to that, you know, we may add, could they be off the demand by, you know, only cutting it 70? Maybe they need to cut it by 150, 200, 300 million in a worst-case scenario, and the market's just not braced for that if that trade war would get that bad.
And then, of course, if you turn your attention to South America, Bill Gentry, you're looking at a very, very good start to their crop this season.
Yeah, and I think as far as they're concerned, they've got it. They've got a much bigger load to bear right now because they've basically started sourcing the stuff to China. And Argentina is basically looking at importing beans because they got to maintain their crush. So the bottom line is I think we have reconfigured some of the export or trade channels. But I think China, if they want to reduce it by that much, they're also going to reduce the amount of pork that they consume. So this might come in from a different angle. With our pork production is big or record size, maybe we'll be exporting more stuff to them because they're not buying the meal.
And Chip Nelliger, if you were looking at the executive summaries from USDA today, they included a couple of items, one showing the difference between the price of soybean exports out of the Gulf here in the United States and then from Brazil and how that's widened since July. The other one on outstanding sales for soybeans, which gave you a better look at how global trade flows were changing. And there are outstanding sales to the European Union, other nations that show up. Of course, it almost zeroes out the Chinese outstanding sales completely. I'm wondering, however, given the drought in Europe last summer and their need for oils to replace their rapeseed crop that was decimated, can we count on them for very long?
Well, I think that's the question. Certainly, the disruption from this tariff situation has really changed the flow of soybeans. So we're by far cheaper, by far the cheapest in the world right now. We've picked up some additional business because of that. Obviously, we've lost some to China. We've kind of backdoored our way into China because some of those beans that Canada and Argentina have purchased from us, they're selling beans increasingly to China. So in a roundabout way, we're still getting some to China. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. My fear is we've picked up some additional business. A, is some of that weather-related, like you mentioned, drought in Europe. And B, it's certainly not going to be enough to pick up what we're losing from China net. So we're going to go backwards. And then, you know, as was mentioned earlier, if China is successful cutting a bunch of demand out of their domestic consumption in beans and meal, that just, you know, adds on top of the problem. We've still got the, you know, the swine flu issue floating around. I'm afraid it's quieted down a little bit, but I'm afraid isn't going to go away. It's just, I don't want to be a doom and gloomer, but things aren't lining up for a massive rally in the bean market. And sure, we could rally 60, 80 cents if we get a Chinese trade agreement soon. But there's so many beans that are left to sell out here. And with the harvest delays, we're going to have to contend at a certain point here in the future, my fear is, with almost another harvest flush, because there's a lot of grain that needs to be moved for cash flow and logistical reasons, especially given the fact that harvest has been a little bit too slow here with the weather.
Jim McCormick, turn your attention to the corn now, where production from USDA down 49 million bushels. We've talked about the yield dropping. It went down 0.6 of a bushel from 181.3 nationwide to 180.7 bushels to the acre nationwide. Can there be another drop, do you think, in November? And how supportive might that be to the marketplace in general?
Well, essentially, in the 4 of the 7 years when they lowered the crop since 1993, when they lowered the crop from September to October, they followed through. So we do tend to go a little bit lower, and I think they will. Like I said, I think it's going to shrink back a little bit. The demand for corn has been phenomenal, especially compared to beans. So I think that so the combination of lowering the yield, strong demand, and I think the chart picture is starting to look a little bit more friendly also. I think the corn market will react and respond. I look at the corn market, and I see a head and shoulder bottom forming on this December corn chart, and if we can get a close above that 370 level tomorrow at the end of the week, I think you could argue you broke the neckline, which would project you back up near the $4 level on the pure charting aspect of the market. So I'm a little bit optimistic with corn down the line.
Bill, the numbers for corn often seem a bit deceiving to me, because carry out at 1.813 billion bushels isn't nearly as large as it is for the carry in, which is 2.14. So that number seems to be pretty friendly to the market. However, while we had a drop in the yield, last year's national average yield was well below this year's, or at least the projected for this year. It was 176.6. So they're just numbers all over the board. It's difficult to understand.
Well, one of the things that we've talked on the last two USDA Department of reports is the stocks to use ratio, because I think that's a better indicator currently than the overall end game for the bottom line. So the stocks-to-use ratio went from 11.7% in the last report up to 12% this report. That's a negligible change in the grand scheme of things. Looking at the soybeans, they went from 19.8 last month to 20.7 this month. That is a little bit bigger jump, but it's a more elastic situation. So the bottom line is, I think realistically, as long as you look at those stocks-to-use ratios being as tight as they are, there is some downside to the prices right now, but going forward, we might be able to build a better case, especially for the corn market, because we're pretty much the biggest supplier around right now.
I have a different question. I don't know which one of you want to take this up. Maybe Chip Nellinger. I want to talk a little bit about wheat and seedings for this year, because we're on pace, at least at this point, for harvest. We're not behind exactly. It seems like we are, but we're just slowed down dramatically. Are you worried at all that the number of wheat acres we thought might be put in the ground might not be able to make it in the ground?
I am, and I'm surprised the market's not picking up on that yet. There's still a window here, but I tell you, it's saturated enough in many areas that it's like planting delays. All you need now that it's so saturated is just a poorly timed half inch or 3/4 of an inch rain. And it seems like they've been coming in multiples of inches here for a lot of the Western Corn Belt. You get one more of those a week down the road, delay it another week. Yeah, we could easily back ourselves into a corner here and kind of close the window. In addition, there's some awful cold temperatures coming as well. So I don't think that's really been a focus of the wheat market yet, and it's a little surprising to me that it hasn't been. I think the wheat market's been more focused about a speculative spread, trading, going back and forth here with wheat as one time the short leg and then the next day the long leg of corn wheat and bean wheat spreads.
Can you follow up just a little bit for me, Bill Gentry, on this idea as it relates to wheat and wheat seedings?
Well, I guess I initially thought we would have a lot of wheat seedings. I think the weather is playing a little bit of a role. But when I look at my weekly chart for wheat, we've been in a consolidation mode for several weeks. And I think we need some more ammunition to break out of that range. I don't see it breaking down to the downside, but I could see us kind of working through this thing for several weeks until we get more knowledge about the situation before we make it a final determination. So I think realistically, I was a little bit disappointed that the wheat didn't perform today. And the fact that it closed lower gets me a little bit concerned for corn. But the fact of the matter is, it's in a trading range, and the market's non-committal yet.
And it might be important, Jim, to make note that while it looks like wheat seedings probably will slow down, they too are really on pace with the five-year average. I think at 57% on Monday seeded compared to 54% over the five-year average. So we haven't quite slowed down yet. But this is one of those areas, Jim, where they thought we've been talking at least a lot about how next year's acreage mix might change and that wheat would maybe be put in the ground more than expected. This might have an impact there. Soybeans, of course, are expected not to be as widely planted next year. Corn acreage maybe up dramatically. What do you think?
That's how I look at it. I think guys are going to try to plant the wheat, but like I said, these guys in like the Western Corn Belt, Kansas, they really got a problem. I mean, now it's just a matter of they're going to get it planted, but you know, you're running out of daylight, and planting in November usually can work if everything goes right, but a lot of times it doesn't work is what my customers are out there telling me. So I think that's a huge problem. I do think we're going to shy away from beans unless we get a China deal. I mean, these four customers and farmers in the Northern Corn Belt, they can't do anything with these beans. I can't imagine them wanting to plant beans next year. And so I do look for more corn acres to get planted, but I want to agree with, I think it was Chip that was saying, I think it's like the wheat is more, they're not trading. I agree. I'm a little bit disappointed with wheat. I think wheat probably is a long-term buy. The world stocks are kind of tightening around the world due to dryness issues around the world. We've got a big supply here, but I think it's getting caught in the leg spread. Today they're buying corn, selling wheat. I do think eventually wheat will catch its own story. It's just a matter of time. Wheat tends to be a technically driven chart trading mechanism by the funds, and I think if you can get over that, 525 to 535 zone level, I think you'll see the funds start reversing that short position and maybe give this wheat a little bit of a ride into the wintertime.
The other item that might be important to note as it relates to the crop progress reports and how much wheat has been put on the ground as a percentage, when they ask that question each week, it's a percentage of expected, and so if the farmer would have expected last week to be planting more or fewer wheat acres because of the rainfall, it would have been a percentage of the acres he expects to plant now, not from the week before. So it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out, and we won't know for quite some time. Let's get a final word from each of you. I think Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. I'll start with you.
Yeah, I would just reiterate what I said before. Most people have enough harvest done. They got a better feel for what's out there. Look at your gross revenue. Recalculate with where you think your yield is. A lot of on-farm storage out there. Look at the carry and with some expected basis appreciation out into winter and spring, the gross revenue is probably there. So work that into your trade plan. Don't get too bulled up here if you want to hope or gamble a little bit. Corn probably has the best story, but beans are really negative, in my opinion. Even if you get China back in the equation, it doesn't mean we've got to go north of $10 again in beans. So that's going to tend to hold us back a little bit, in my opinion, for the long haul here.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities.
Switching focus just a little bit. With today's move, we've got the new crop December back above $4. I think realistically, as we've talked through this conversation, that we could see a lot more corn acres next year. I doubt if you're going to have a four in front of the price of corn. So taking a look at it right now and maybe making some hedge to arrives or put some hedges in place above $4 seems to be an odds-on favorite at this particular point in time with us.
And Jim McCormick, Allendale.
Well, I'm going to say as harvest really kicks into full gear, we still got about two-thirds of the crop left to get out. As storage runs out, make sure you do the math and don't just automatically just kind of tell the farmer, put it in storage and pay the commercial storage. Do the math. Lots of times you're going to find out it may be better just to go ahead and move it if you want to maintain ownership. I am friendly with the corn. Consider buying options or some kind of a strategy like that, which will keep you long but maybe cut that commercial storage cost down.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists today, including Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, and Jim McCormick of Allendale in McHenry, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.